Simon Alsen now tried to lay it down on the near side. Out in the centre, it's Celestan. Victor Ludorum is arriving all the time. Between horses, the Summit is still battling away, but it's Victor Ludorum on the near side who now comes through, picks it up, being chased by the Summit and Alsen and Celestan, but it's Victor Ludorum running away by a couple of lengths to win it to the Summit in second position.
Ah, Victor Ludorum winning at the 2,000 French guineas, which was on last night, the 1,000 guineas as well, and one man who would have been extremely happy and relieved to see European racing at its peak back would have been our very own Mickey Lynch. Good morning to you, Mick.
Yeah, I'm not so bad, Michael. How are you? And you're absolutely right. It's great to see it in action. Obviously, it's been back in France since May the 11th, but with one or two little hitches because that French first classic of the season had to be moved from Paris, which is in the red zone there for coronavirus. Longchamp had to be moved to Deauville and run over the straight mile as opposed to the round mile, but it's still great. Group one race and a very worthy winner, won very well. So he was certainly the winner of those games, was that Victor Ludorum. A terrific effort and a very good ride by Michael Barzalona, or Mikel Barzalona, I should say.
That was the highlight and the feature action last night. But as far as UK racing was concerned, it was a low-key resumption. But what's the reaction been to finally have racing back in the UK?
Oh, it's been sensational, apparently. You know, as you'd expect, on every measure, turnover was up as sort of punters rushed to get on. You're right, it was a pretty low-key meeting at Newcastle on the all-weather. No star names amongst the horses, but it was one of those where I think they just had to get something on and make sure that it got underway and went off with no hitches. And pretty much that's how it went. You know, a lot of races, I think it was an 8 or a 9 race card, which is very unusual for the UK. You know, they normally only have 6 race cards, but this could be more the shape of things to come, I think, in Britain. Fewer meetings and a more concentrated fixture list, but with more races on it, because obviously, you know, they're limiting the number of jockeys who can ride. I think very few apprentices, other than those claiming up to £5, which is like our 2 kilo claimers. I think the 3 kilo claimer equivalents aren't allowed to ride at the moment, and with 12 runner fields. So they're trying to make sure there's opportunities for everyone. So more races will probably be on the cards as well.
It's been some pretty amazing images to see the spread between the jockeys and all the jockeys and participants wearing face masks as well over there. There was a lot of scrutiny from the media and a lot of publicity about the return. And has it all been overwhelmingly positive that finally racing is back?
Yeah, I haven't really sort of noticed too much negativity, not on Twitter, which is always a hanging judge, isn't it, Twitter, if it gets the chance. One or two of the jockeys said it was a bit odd riding in face masks, obviously, but then and a few of them who are more perhaps the less big-name riders who do spend more time riding on the all-weather, they say that they're actually quite used to wearing face masks because they do it to avoid the kickback, you know. There was only one negative, real negative out of it. There was in one of the main races, there was a rather nasty fall on the flat, and one of the horses was put down after falling on the... It was a 2,400-metre race. They were in the straight, and one of the horses was trying to make a run from the back, stumbled, fell, and brought down another. And two of the leading jockeys are involved, PJ McDonald and Jim Crowley, the former champion who you might remember we had out here riding in the Melbourne Cup a couple of years ago. But they walked away unscathed. But one of the horses was put down. But that was probably the worst kind of feeling out of the meeting. There were no serious incidents otherwise, and no significant breaches of the strict new protocols.
This weekend's where it really heats up. We get the running of the 2,000 guineas at Newmarket, and we're all looking forward to seeing Pinatubo back in action as well. And the, I suppose the, The spring carnival news that's just come out, or the summer news over there in Europe, is that they're not going to have any crowds, Matt Stewart says, until September. We spoke to Vin Cox a little earlier this morning. He said it's very unlikely that you will see any Europeans coming over for our Melbourne Cup from the Godolphin stable. So there's a lot of change because they want to focus on their own carnival over there.
Yeah, not surprising. Well, yeah, in a way, I am actually a bit surprised Vince said that, because you would have thought if there was one or two outfits in the world who had the infrastructure and the capability to bring horses here in these troubled times, it would be Godolphin, because while the staff couldn't travel if Australia keeps its protocols about foreign visitors attending, the horses could, and you would have thought they would have had the infrastructure to, say, leave them with James Cummings at Flemington or Randwick, but obviously they've decided not to do that, you know, we'll just see where it bears out. I think the September on crowds is probably a good shout. I saw something in one of the newspapers, I think Racing Post was saying, quoting people saying they don't think it'll be much before September. Racing is very much the sort of guinea pig at the moment there, because, you know, it's the first of the big sports to come back. The Premier League football isn't due back until June the 17th. And, you know, if Racing can set a very good standard like it has done in this country, it will really augur well. But the big crunch will come in terms of crowds, I think, when Premier League football comes back. And if that goes all right for about 6 weeks, the new season will probably start in September, and that will be when the big impetus to get crowds back at sporting events will come, probably more driven by football than racing, to be honest.
And the guineas this Saturday, all the eyes are on the Godolphin superstar Pinatubo, who there was talk at one stage they could have brought him out here for the Everest, but clearly that's not going to happen. Some people mentioning his name in the same breath as Frankel.
Well, and it's a very valid comparison if you believe the handicappers, because he was rated the best 2-year-old in Europe in donkey's years in memory last season. He rated 2 pounds above, which is a kilo, above Frankel on the official ratings for what he did as a 2-year-old. And he was a fascinating horse, because he started the season on the all weather early in the year, which is not the kind of profile these blue bloods in Europe tend to have. They tend to wait until, you know, at least halfway through the season and then bring them out, and they do their strong performances at the back end. But he was on the go. He won at Wolverhampton, you know, which is, well, I don't know what the equivalent of it is, Seymour or Tatura or something like that, you know, on his first start on an all-weather race. Then he won a sprint at Epsom at the Derby meeting, and he just kept improving and improving. And his phenomenal performance came at the Curragh in the Group 1 National Stakes, Vincent O'Brien National Stakes, where he went by 9 lengths. Now, you just don't see that, do you? You see precocious 2-year-olds dominating their rivals because they're bigger and stronger, but you don't tend to see them win Group 1s by 9 lengths. And he beat a pretty decent yardstick, Arizona, who reopposes on Saturday. But Arizona had won the Coventry Stakes at Royal Ascot and, you know, was rated amongst the best that Coolmore had. So he certainly bears comparison with Frankel. As a 2-year-old, he did more than Frankel. Whether he'll be able to match him as a 3-year-old, we really wait to see on Saturday, and it'll be a fantastic start to really get a chance to see what he can do.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And Frankie Dettori tweeted out an amazing picture yesterday, I think it was, or the day before, saying that it is 20 years today, I think, that he had that aeroplane crash with Ray Cochrane. It was an unbelievable photo of both he and Ray in bed with their bandages and their face battered. Were you in Australia when that occurred, or were you back in the UK?
No, I was over here. I've been here so long. I've actually been here longer. I lived in the UK now, which is a staggering thought. I was here, but that was huge news. And when it happened, the pilot of the plane sadly died in that incident, and Ray Cochrane saved his life, pulled Frankie out, as we all know the story. Ray was, of course, a top rider himself. You remember he got in a lot of trouble here for winning the Caulfield Cup on Torfman's Melody, if you recall, when he it caused a fair bit of interference. But he was a very, very well-known and top rider in England, riding a lot for Luca Kamani, Matt Kamani's father. And he and Dettori were obviously good mates. I think Ray Cochran retired pretty quickly after that. And then he had a long, long time as Frankie Dettori's agent. The two are very, very close, as you can imagine. And an experience like that would really solidify any bond you had that was pre-existing, wouldn't it?
And one last one, Mick. The word, I think it came out yesterday, that the champion of Europe, Enable, looking for a third arc, will bypass Royal Ascot and return in the Coral Eclipse.
Yeah, that that's not sort of usually surprising. I think given she's now six and the arc is her big, big target, she would make history if she could win a third arc. No horse has done it before. The Eclipse 10 furlongs would be a pretty good stepping off point, you'd think, in July or whenever we're going to have it now. And I'd imagine she might run there, run maybe once or twice maximum more before she would go to Longchamp in early October. And what a fantastic story and a fairy tale that would be if she could pull her off with one F. Dettori in the saddle.
Oh, exactly right. Mick, you're going to have some bleary eyes now. Thank goodness that the English racing is back, as well as most jurisdictions in Europe as well, and the big races are back.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we get the English 2000 guineas this weekend, and then Irish racing restarts on Monday, June the 8th. Well, that's the plan. And then you've got the Irish 2000 guineas and 1000 guineas the following weekend. And it's just posed an interesting logistical challenge for, you know, the mega Coolmore stable, because they can send horses, but any people who go to, say, Newmarket with their runners, they have to go into quarantine for 2 weeks if they want to return to Ireland. So, in essence, I think they're going to sort of set up a mini operation in the UK with people, you know, and it'll be fascinating to see where Ryan Moore goes. I imagine he'll stay in England, but he is their stable jockey. So it would mean that Shame, and I think he is staying in England, so it would mean that probably Shamey Heffernan and Wayne Lorden will ride most of their top horses in Ireland, which will be a departure. You know, we're used to seeing Ryan Moore riding all the Irish Classic winners for them. But these are strange times and we're getting some strange outcomes, aren't we?
Absolutely. Mick, thanks for the update. We enjoy reading all your work in The Age as well. We'll chat soon.
Thank you, Michael, and good luck to Matty and the rest of the crew there.